Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. I would like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing our studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 18, which says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And so we've been studying things related to the catching out of the saints, or what is typically referred to as the rapture of the church, the promise that has been given to us, the members of the body of Christ, those who put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and the simple fact that our belief in that work gives us our eternal life. And we're talking about how the idea of the catching out of the saints is a comfort to the members of the body of Christ, and how Paul has to talk repeatedly about the issues of comfort because of what has been said for us as the members of the body of Christ. We've been looking at, you know, the things that Paul has said and how he's even speaking about the example of himself and the things that he went through. Let's start here as we pick this back up over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And we're going to look here at an example of the Apostle Paul speaking about how he was praying for things here. And we're going to start here in verse number 7 and read down through verse number 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And here we have Paul, you know, praying, asking God to remove the problem from his life, to be able to provide that physical comfort of having that removed. And you see how the answer that he receives is not a promise of, okay, I'm going to take this away from you, Paul. The answer that he receives is, "My grace is sufficient for thee." The answer is that God is going to provide him a way to be able to deal with those things. And because God is providing him a way to deal with it, then you can see how Paul says that he can glory in those. And he glories in them because he knows that they're happening because of his stand for God's word. And he knows that God's going to be able to help him get through whatever these situations are. Now, this is right after, if you just look back in the previous chapter, you see how Paul lists out all of these different physical things that have happened to him. And here in chapter number 11, we're going to pick up here in verse 23 and read down through verse number 28. And it says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the sea, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, as Paul is listing all of these things out, we see how there's a giant list of these various physical things that were happening to him as a result of him being, when he calls himself, a minister of Christ. And for most individuals, if we had not even half of these various things happening to us, we would probably give up and not want to do this anymore. And yet you just see Paul going, continually doing these things. And this is just the list by the time he's writing this epistle of 2 Corinthians. His ministry isn't over yet, which means that he had a lot more of these problems that were going on that he was facing as he was continuing in his ministry. And knowing all this, he comes to that conclusion after he had asked God to remove that one particular issue, the messenger of Satan, when God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee," this is what allows the Apostle Paul to continue on and be able to face and deal with all of these problems as he's experiencing them in his life. And as Paul writes his epistles, one of the things that you see in them is that he speaks about these issues of suffering, tribulation, and persecution, and he speaks about these things much more than any other writer of Scripture by far. And I'm just going to kind of give you an idea of how many times Paul uses these terms. The word suffer occurs 23 times in Paul's epistles in the King James Bible. The word suffered 6 times. Suffereth 1 time. Sufferings 6 times. Tribulation 8 times. Tribulations 3 times. Persecute 1 time. Persecuted 7 times. Persecuting once. Persecution 4 times. Persecutions 4 times, and persecutor once. Now, that's a lot of references related to these issues that the Apostle Paul was facing all throughout his ministry. And by default, because we're to follow Paul as he followed Christ, that means that we're going to be experiencing these things in our life. And that's why we need that comfort. Why we spent time last episode looking at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and talking about how God is the God of all comfort, who's going to provide us a way to be able to deal with the situations, not removing them, but being able to help us deal with the sufferings, tribulation, and persecution that comes about during this dispensation. Let's go over to the book of Philippians. We'll go to Philippians chapter number 1. And we're going to see how, as Paul's starting this epistle to the assembly in Philippi, what he says to them here in verse number 29, which after we read it, I'm sure that most people would wish that this verse wasn't there when he says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." And how, you know, I think most people would want to have it be a thing of it being said that we're not going to have to suffer. And yet here's Paul telling us that it's been given to us in the behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're going to have to suffer for his sake. You know, and that's that direct opposite thing from what we see when you're talking about Israel's program and how Israel, if they were doing the right things, would receive all of these blessings from God, that they would feel and they would be able to see all of the different things that God was providing for them, all because they were being faithful. The only time that they would see bad things was when they were going against the things of the Word of God. Here we have Paul telling us that if we're doing the right things, and it says that to suffer for his sake, that if we're standing for the doctrine given, there's going to be suffering that's going to come about. And as Paul concludes his epistles, you see how he actually brings this up. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and starts to talk to Timothy about what's going to happen. Now, the first part of chapter 3 actually gives things related to the condition that the body of Christ is going to end up in as we get closer to the last days. We're going to pick up here in verse number 10 as Paul's giving encouragement here to Timothy, and it says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So he's telling Timothy, who had been ministering with him, and you see Timothy with the Apostle Paul through the book of Acts. You see in some of the epistles, especially the early ones, the references to Timothy being there. You know, the Thessalonian epistle that we're studying mentions Timothy as being one of the writers of it, you know, who had been ministering to the assembly in Thessalonica. And Paul brings up, starting in verse 10, says, "Thou hast fully known," and then he starts listing out these things of, you know, and he starts with the doctrine, the manner of life, the purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. So he says, okay, here's all of these things that you've known. And then all of a sudden he picks up with persecutions and afflictions. So he ends with these bad things that were happening to Paul. Then he gives examples, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. So these were very specific things that Timothy could make a reference to having been there and saying, okay, I know what has gone on with you because you're bringing up these very specific things. Then when he says, you know, again, the persecutions I endured, talks about how the Lord delivered him out of those things. And then verse 12 talks about and says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, individuals take this because Paul's saying that everybody who's going to live godly in Christ Jesus, so everyone who's going to follow the doctrine that's been given to us in Romans through Philemon, if you're following this, Paul says we're going to suffer persecution. So they take every little thing that happens to them and they call it persecution. So, you know, for example, you're sharing the gospel with somebody that you encounter in a store, and the individual calls you a bad name, and, you know, the person walks away and goes, well, see, I suffered persecution for the Lord. Now, that's not what Paul's talking about when he's talking about things of Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. All you have to do is read through things in the book of Acts, and you see that Paul is talking about things that were much worse than just having a name-calling. You know, in one of these cities, he's actually stoned to death. They take his body, you know, saying, okay, he's dead. They throw him out the gate as nothing more than a piece of trash, thinking, okay, we got rid of this guy. And then he stands up, dusts himself off, and just says, okay, where next? Where's the next place I have to go? Just goes to the next city and continues on and continues ministering the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, that's the idea of persecution. And there's a time coming when every member of the body of Christ is going to be in that type of a position where individuals are going to be facing it. Yes, there are places around the world where that does happen today, but there's also places like the United States where we have the freedom to be able to assemble, to be able to publicly preach this message and not have to worry about that somebody's going to come and kill me because I'm preaching this. Now, that's today. There's a time coming, because Paul just said that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there's a time coming when every member of the body who's alive at that time is going to be facing that type of persecution. And so this is why you see how Paul has to give the information about the comfort, because we know that we are going to be with him in the heavenly places. We know we have that guarantee, and it's truly a comfort for us. And Paul having to give us the information about how to go about our daily lives to make sure that we're getting through these things. And let's turn over to Philippians chapter number 4. And we're going to see how Paul, as he's writing to this local assembly, is going to be saying some things to them about how it is that they need to deal with the situations in their life. And we're going to start here at verses 6 and 7. We're going to read a couple different passages out of this chapter. And so verses 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here you have Paul talking about how individuals, if they're going to be doing exactly what God intends, that they're to be offering everything in their life to God with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, so that way God can be able to help them get through whatever thing. And that's why you see what verse 7 is talking about, what's going to come upon the believer as they're doing this, when it says, "The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So there's a peace of God which comes upon us as we're doing this, that's going to keep us in the place that God intends, if we're doing exactly what's been said, which is to, you know, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So in every situation, the good and the bad, we are to be offering these things up in prayer, communicating with God the Father. Now let's skip down here to verse number 11. And we see Paul talking about the situation that he finds himself in, and says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And we're going to stop there for just a moment, because we see how Paul talks about, you know, things of, you know, as you read through this, there's the good and the bad, and how Paul's saying that he's learned that no matter what this situation is, he's learned to be content in those things, you know, whether it's good or bad. He's learned to be that way because the very next verse says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And so he knows, and because he's just followed what was written in verses 6 and 7, the issue of praying to God with thanksgiving related to these things, that he's learned that he can get through them, which is what provides that ability to be content in them. And he knows that because verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So he knows that everything that we need has been given to us, as it says, by Christ Jesus. So we've received everything already. We received that through what he accomplished on the cross for us. We put our trust in that. We receive the spiritual blessings that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter number 1. We know that. We understand that. That's what we truly needed. And because we have that and we understand that, again, this is why we can have that issue of being content. This is why we can have that comfort that comes about from the aspect of what it is that's going on for us as the members of the body of Christ. The comfort that we need to be able to keep going. The comfort that, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is talking about, the hope that we have, that's the true comfort that we need to be able to continue on and function in these things as the Apostle Paul is laying out the doctrine for us today. And it's why we know that we have all these promises that have been given unto us today. And so as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of some previous messages. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information about how to join our Sunday service and our Wednesday night Bible study live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. And as always, if you happen to be in the Buffalo area, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. as we meet at 83 Anderson Road in Cheektowaga, New York. And if you ever have any questions or comments about anything on our website, anything in our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.